by day and defense by night.
Hallelujah. He's a shelter in the time of storm. Though the storms of life may rage around us beat, we will never retreat from our self-retreat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For Christ is a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We will continue with what I call the assurance series. The assurance series, we've been on this for some time now. Assurance, blessed be the name of the Lord, like blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. The first message it is in our this thing that we preach on that series is that it is well with the righteous. Say ye unto the righteous, it is well with you. Amen. Is it well with you? Then if I say amen, it is well with the righteous. Amen. No matter what the world is trying to paint differently, it is well with you in Jesus' name. Amen. The second part is the last one we preached on the series is on Christ, the solid rock we stand. Amen. It's a form of encouragement in time of trial. At times we preach on different things, faith, righteousness, prophecy, whatever God gives us. At times we go in a series of storms to encourage us. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that we may stand and not retreat and not give an inch of our faith. To stand firm knowing that our rock is a solid rock. You remember that in that discussion we mentioned some few things. I want to bring that out because it's a continuation in a way. We say one of the five things about the rock of we have, the rock of ages himself, blessed be the name of the Lord. Number one is that he is the rock of ages. Amen. It is there for us for eternity. Amen. Secondly, we say our rock can issue living water. You know, the Islam have this rock in whatever they have it. They go around it every year. They go around it. It has no life in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our rock in him can be issued what? A living water. That's the only rock that can issue water. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And not just any kind of water, but a living water. Amen. We also say that rock, it is a rock that moves, a mobile rock, immobile, moves around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, and they drank out of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what? Christ. And we say everywhere you go, anywhere you are, under the sea, on the air, on the earth, as you go from Glendale to Phoenix, wherever you go, that rock follows you underneath. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you dig deep enough, you will always find a rock. Therefore, build your house wherever you are on that solid rock. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we go on to say it is the only rock and the only foundation for that cornerstone. That foundation can no other man lay other than that which was laid, which is what? Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And one time Jesus said, Peter, who do men say? You are Christ, the Son of God. Amen. He said, yes. Upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? It's a rock that the gate of hell cannot prevail. And I say that rock is bigger, better, higher, mightier than the rock of Gibraltar. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In continuing with that series, I'm going to go quickly to the one for today. When the anchor holds within the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On that assurance series, when the anchor holds within the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we sang that hymn, "The Lord Our Rock, in Him We Hold." It's a shelter in the time of storm. Hallelujah. I pray, I said here, that none of us ever have to face life on certain times. But that is not the reality of life. Is there are times we face on certain times, the ups and downs of life. I say, when the anchor holds, you can ride out the storm. Amen? The stormy seas, and find safe haven even in troubled times, and have certain assurance shall overtake even ordinary hope. And we are coming to that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The purpose of anchor is to stabilize the ship. Every ship you see out in the sea have an anchor. An anchor is something that is big, has a hook like it, as big as, you know, that things, depending on the size of ship, have an anchor. When the ship is in certain sea, stormy place, they lay down the anchor and lay it all the way to the, hit the bottom. And when it hit the bottom, they drag it until it snags on something. It stabilizes the ship. Without the anchor, the ship will stray. And you may find out that it will go and batter on something and self-destroy. So every ship has an anchor. No matter how fancy it is, small or big one, they have an anchor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the purpose of the anchor is to stabilize the ship, keep it afloat, and also to prevent the ship from blowing off course, and then thereby dashing on a rock or a leaf, forcing the ship to sink with people that is in it. And now I'm going to explain before we go into more details. The ship is me and you, we mortals. The line is our faith in God's word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The ship is me and you. The line is my faith in God's word, and the anchor is Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These three things I want us to note: the ship, the line, and the anchor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's quickly read from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 to 19. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18 to 19. Hebrews 6. Read with me, everybody. "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." 19. "Which hope we have as an anchor," blessed be the name of the Lord, "of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil." Herein comes the title, "When the Anchor Holds Within the Veil." Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, blessed be the name of the Lord, by two immutable things whereby God cannot lie. Immutable, impossible situation, you know, like a situation that can never change. God can never lie because he has to back up his word and his name. By these two things, God will never lie. When his word says it, you have to believe it. And when his name is stamped on it, you can take it to the bank and cash it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, he swore by himself. Having looked around up in heaven and earth, and finding none, he said he swore by himself. God is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. When the new ship, which is, typically speaking, our life, is beginning, or set sail in life, when a child is born, or me and you set out in life, There is celebrations. And the life journey goes forth. That is life. Anyone that is born here, you know when you are born, your mama and papa rejoices and throw party and stuff and say, whoa, a child is born. That is sitting still like a sheep. The journey goes forth between the setting cell, that is the beginning, and then to safe heaven or harbor, which is our Christ Jesus. But in between may occur that other things that is outside our control. The ship of life at times sails with comparable peace and safety with fair wind behind our back. Beautiful blue skies and blue seas, wondrous creatures like roaming whales and flying fish passing by, and everything looks so nice and beautiful to entertain us. That is life. Some serve out of nowhere, like Job's situation, just out of nowhere. Like out of nowhere, actually. Today you are singing, you are dancing, you are rejoicing out of nowhere. Then, just like Job's situation, the journey that seems peaceful changes to dark cloud and severe situation overwhelms, and the sea that was peaceful may become a raging sea. The fair wind becomes a whirlwind, and the tempest and angry wave seems to override. Blessed be the name of the Lord in every situation. Amen. And this will try our faith and seems to overwhelm us. When the gathering storm and crowd unfold their dark wings, I wrote here, of strife, will you be on the outer or the inner court or within the veil? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When all these things seem to start to happen, and I'm going to go into a little more detail as we step out, where will you be? Will you be on the outer or the inner or in the veil? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Which things were an anchor, the Bible says, as that entered into the veil. Why did the Bible say that? We are going to go into that. It's a little prophetic, but that's what we want to bring out today. When the anchor holds within the veil. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of sitting before somebody. A dire situation. And the way this person described life scares me. He says it's like I'm floating, I don't have any, I'm not grounded. And I start to describe life in such a way that lead me to think that this person is thinking of taking their life, and ask her exactly, are you planning to take your life? When situation like a mountain, like a tempest come before us and you are not grounded, the enemy can come in, trap the soul, trap the mind, and start pushing lies, and many bought it, and so they self-destruct. That is like that sheep that says sell. And I don't care whether I'm an unbeliever or a believer, there's trials of life. That is part of life. The difference between you and the man outside there is, will your anchor hold in the midst of storms of life? Will you throw up your hand and surrender? Or will you stand your ground and know that God, our rock, our high rock, is able to deliver and to save? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will your anchor hold within the veil on that day? To avoid drifting or sinking in a stormy sea of life, there is certain things you have to do. Let's compare it to losing an anchor. An anchor is loose when in hope, by applying our faith based on God's word and promises. That is one thing I want you to always hold. Your anchor is loosed That, like a ship when the anchor is loosed, is like, just like me and you when we are facing trials or situation of life. Where do you base it? Where do you ground yourself? A wise man of his days by name Socrates said, to ground hope on false supposition is like trusting in a broken anchor. That is Socrates, one of the philosophists of his days. To ground your hope on false supposition is like trusting in a broken anchor. That ship is on the wave. They now want to stabilize it and ground it, and they throw the anchor out, thinking that it is grounded, not knowing that the line is not snagged, it isn't stabilized, and so they are in storm, and before they know it, it dashed them on a rock, or pushed them to a reef, or throw them in the wild sea and they drown. Today, many have nothing to ground themselves in when trials of life comes. And unfortunately, it even extends into the household of faith. That we are not grounded in the word of God to trust him to see us through situation, and so we despair and give up, forgetting that God has promised us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's quickly open Isaiah chapter 46, 9 to 10. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10, please. Let's be fast on this so that we can round up on time. I would like to pray with us if time permits. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none as I am God, and there is none like me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. That is the anchor. That is the hope. That is where you need to ground your hope. That God has declared the end from the beginning pertaining to me and you. Amen. Saying what? My counsel. The Lord said it. He hit his chest about you, about me, about the word, about the promises of the word of God, and say, my counsel shall stand. So when people come to you with false opposition, like many of us, many have run helter and skelter, spend their money, waste their life looking for refuge where there is no refuge, because somebody say, hey, I will destroy you. Somebody say, I will do this to you. Somebody say, I will go to this native doctor or juju this thing. If you know where your anchor is, you will not be afraid. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because there is a counsel. He said there are some that are mighty or some that are high, but there is one that is higher than them. And he said, my counsel shall stand. God has made a decision about each and every one of you that is sitting here. Unless you renege, unless you move away, unless you run away, unless you defy it, the Most High God will not lie. What he has said about you, that will be. No demon of hell can prevent that. The only person that can thwart the will of God in your life is you. Nobody can change that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Please hurry up. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers, the book of Numbers, 23, verse 19. Somebody there? Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man. Everybody say with me, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Had he spoken, shall he not make it good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you know that God has spoken good things, I say, I know the thought I have towards you. thought of peace, to give you what? An expected end. Why then do you fear what man or woman can do? Why then do you fear what the system can do when you know that he that is upholding you is mighty? That he that is upholding you is the Most High God. That there be some that are high in this world, but there is one that is higher than them. And he says that my counsel shall stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is written about me, there is none that can change it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Christ, by the blood he shed on Calvary, has written good things about each and every one of us sitting here this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Unless you want to take yourself out of it. Number two, the line, remember we have three things we are working at here. The anchor, the line, and the sheep. The sheep, as we say in the beginning, is you. The line is your faith on the word of God. Who is said by immutable things, God cannot lie. His word and his name. He even said that my word is exalted even above my name. That's how strong that work. He will back his word. God will not fail. He will not renege. He will not back out. He will back his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The line must be intact. The problem why when things happen, we shake and we move and we tremble and we quake and we fail is when the line is not intact. When sin and rebellion has set in and you are not sitting on that solid rock again, like we spoke the other round, you move the river vault to something else and you build your house on a sinking sand, on your own plan, on your own thought, on what you know. Instead of relying entirely on the word of God, say, behold, his soul which is lifted up in him, which is lifted up is not upright in him. He said, but the just shall live by faith. It is the only recourse me and you have is to live by faith. We cannot trust on any man. We cannot trust on any woman. Not on any pastor, not on any bishop, not on any prophet, not on any apostle, but on Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And faith, and our faith in him and him alone. For the just shall live by his faith. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. The anchor must hook snack into the rock, solid ground. Many a times, children of God quote the scriptures, but it is like an anchor that is dangling, it's not snagged into the rock. There is no base, it's not dragged. The ship has thrown down the anchor and it is out there, but they don't know that this anchor did not hit the ground and then it doesn't drag it. It needs to be dragged until it snags on something and it becomes a solid anchor. Many of us quote the scriptures. We recite it, it is offered. But there is no revelation of the word inside it. One day I realized, I said, the just shall live by faith. Is there another means I can live so? If I'm a just, if I'm a true child of God, then it is my faith that will see me through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that faith must be based on the entire word of God. And when you start to exercise faith in God's word, the enemy comes in. He comes with doubt. He comes with unbelief. It comes by friend. It comes with people you know. It comes with diverse means to shake you and make you to move. Say, I shall not be moved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah? Can somebody say hallelujah? Can somebody say hallelujah? Yes. The anchor must hook snack into the rock, solid ground. That which entereth within the veil, as he says, a floating anchor is useless in the eye of the storm. So is a faith that is working on unbelief. It's faith, but it's actually unbelief. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. James 1, 6 and 8. Please hurry up so that we can finish on time. James 6, the book of James, chapter 1, 6 to 8. But let him ask in what? Faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said, Abraham believed God, and it was done what? Counted for him as righteousness. When you pray, believe. After you pray, when the enemy start tossing all those doubts before you, tell him, I believe God, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I stand by that. It doesn't matter what the symptom or the evidence will show, whether it's over by today, whether it is delayed by a week or 2 weeks, like in Abraham's time, it was delayed for how many years? 25 years. But still, he believed God every day, thanking God for what God had said, because he knew that it was under the covenant that was made, and that nothing will change what God has said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now to the main point of our discussion today, to discuss how it goes into the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He says, into the veil, many of you may not know it, before Christ, way back in Exodus, when the children of Israel were marching around, God gave Moses a vision. And in that vision, he said, make it, build it like a pattern that was shown to you on the mount. That pattern was something unique. It's supposed to be a dwelling place of God among mortals, like me and you. So he told him to make this veil, an oblong kind of shape, about 450 yards or so, or feet or so, and then like rectangle kind of something. This veil has, or this tabernacle has three main sections. On one side, there is only one gate into that tabernacle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The east side, multiple color, you can't miss it. They use different patterns to make it so it stands out from all the other side. But there is only one door, only one way, only one gate, denoting what? That Jesus Christ is the only way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But immediately you enter through the gate, you come into the first section, the outer gate. And then, after that, the inner. And then, in the inner, we have what they call the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The outer court signifies where unbelief, sin, and all these other things are effective. And so he tell them to put in there the altar of sacrifice, a brazen altar and all the lava and stuff, where they come and sacrifice animal to purify the sins of man. To the inner court, which is called the holy, not the holy of holies, but the holy sanctum. Only the priests, plural, goes into that particular one. The court, outer court, is a general place where everybody can come in, sinner, whatever, and so on. And if you give your life to Christ, you are saved. It signifies unbelief, salvation through grace of God. Then there is the inner, where only the priest, he has all this other, the shoe, bread, and this and that, the license, the lighting, and so on, signifies certain things. We are not going to go into detail of this prophetically. But there is hope in that area, salvation hope. Then when you go into the Holy of Holies, which only one person goes in once a year, and before he goes in, he has to sprinkle and cleanse himself and purify himself and prepare himself. The high priest goes into that Holy of Holies. And when he's inside there, he does certain things that's according to ritual, all signifying to the coming of Christ and salvation of mankind. So now we have three things I want to point out to us quickly. Outside, unbelief, possible salvation. Then we go to hope. then hope ends. When you enter into the veil, assurance sets in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to explain that to us. Unbelief, washed by the blood and so on. Then you go to the inner. By those symbols, we can explain it. Hope comes there. Hope on things to come. Hope on the grace of God. Hope on the mercy of God. But then when you get into the inner veil, you have an assurance. And assurance is greater than hope. Hope is anticipation. Will it happen? Maybe, maybe not. I think maybe it will happen. But when you have an assurance, things change. Your situation change. When you learn how to have an assurance, it goes from I think, I hope, to I know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You go from I think, I hope, to I know. There is an assurance. One of the greatest assurance we have, and everybody knows it and sings, say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Does it stop only there? No. There is assurance in every aspect of your life if you know how to get into that veil and hook onto that anchor. The reason is that because inside that veil, there is certain thing that is there that makes a difference in every other aspect. There is a covenant, a box. Inside box was a shoe, what they call the iron rod that budded, the manna that is inside it, and the tablet of stone. But then on top of it, there is a seat, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that seat, he says, it is what? The mercy seat. And God set it above every other thing. The mercy seat. My favorite scripture. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. For his compassion they do not fail it not. New every morning is his love. And great is God's faithfulness. So judgment was there. Sin and salvation and every other thing was there. Hope that we end. Because when you see what you are hoping for, what are you hoping for again? Of all these things, God set inside that place one thing that is above all things. He set his seat of mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you learn how to anchor into God's mercy. And when we talk of mercy, we are not talking that you should go live a life of sin, life of unrighteousness, and continue to ask for mercy. Shall we dwell, abide in sin that grace may abound? He say, God forbid. But if you know how to tap into God's mercy, it will show in your love life towards your brethren. It will show in the way you think. It will show in the way you act. It will show in your thought pattern and action and changes everything because that become an anchor that God will never, never turn back his back on. When you implore on his mercy, God is there to back you up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The mercy of God is what creates that atmosphere where there is an assurance within the veil. I say there's hope. It ends. But when we get inside that veil, something else happens. The Bible starts to tell us about women and men and people who understood the assurance. And the word you can quit or associate with assurance is I know. Not I think, not I hope, not I assume, but I know. Amen? It's deep. When you get to the point that I know, in this situation, I know whom I have believed. Martha was one of such people who went across the threshold. My brother is dead for 4 days, rotting in this thing. Ah, If only you were here. If only you were here. But I know, blessed be the name of the Lord, that whatsoever you ask of God, God will do. Ha! Christ honored that faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has no option than to honor because she has crossed the threshold. She knew who she is talking to. And she said, I know that whatever you ask of God, even though the impossible situation exists before you, a dead man that is inside the grave or whatever sepulcher where they put him for 4 days, to me and you, probably chicken out. It's rotten. It's gone. It's been dead. But he said, I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will do. What is the outcome? He raised a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came out floating out. Because she crossed that threshold to die in no level. Assurance. When we just live by hope, when we just live by, okay, it's my faith in this and so on, but when we go to the level of assurance, I know whom I have believed, things change. Miracle happens in that situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I won't tell too many stories on this, but I have one more. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And we'll be rounding up soon. Acts 27, 29. Acts of Apostles chapter 27, verse 29. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Hope is gone. Hope ended. Go to verse 33. Quickly, please. 27:33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them, say, all to take meat, saying, this day is 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Go to verse 34. Let's round this up quickly, please. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair from the head of any of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I won't read all the places I wanted to read, but let me quickly tell you the story. Paul was being transported to go before Caesar to answer for his faith. In the ship were 276 people. They run into tempest, physical, practical tempest. The sea was raging. They lowered anchor and everything according to the ship procedures, and nothing was happening. So, at a point, they become hopeless. It is time to die. But then in the night, he said, an angel of the Lord visited Paul, and Paul has been praying and they've been fasting and waiting on the Lord. And he said, the angel said to him, Paul, you will not die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only will you not die, but I have given to you the life of 276 people for your sake. When your faith, when your knowledge, when your belief cross the threshold to an assurance, not only will your life be for yourself alone, it will be a light to others around you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Saving salvation will go from you to reach others. You will be a comforter in chief. You will be a blessing in chief. You will be a helper in chief. You will uphold others because you have entered into the veil and there's an assurance. What is this assurance that Paul had? There was a revelation. That revelation came when the angel of the Lord stepped into the equation and spoke to him. You will not die. And not only that, I've given you 276 people. Now Paul came out and said, they were still in the midst of the tempest. The seas were still raging. Everything was still going as it is. But they said, be of good cheer. Not one hair, not even the hair of your head will fall to the ground, because I have crossed into the veil and received an assurance by revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Time we fail us to go in detail in this. What happens within the veil when you have an assurance? Lastly, let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Quickly, please, we need to round up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Assurance could be by revelation or by office which you have, like in the case of high priest. But I want you to understand, at the end of the day, is the Lord's mercy. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Go on, please. 20. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. 22. Let us draw near with true hearts, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water, as that entereth into the veil. Will your anchor hold through the ship be battered by stormy seas, raging tempests, angry waves, and live billows? As the ship is bound to drift and wreck if not anchored, so also will our soul be lost, confused, and hopeless if not anchored in Christ Jesus at the midnight hour of trials. An unanchored soul is purposeless and fearful, but the anchored soul shall ride out the storm to a safe haven. We must not cast away our sight because of the angry waves that we see, but put it on him who has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please, let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. To God be the glory. Amen.